Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Only the second hour of our show, which features listeners' questions, is heard live from 5 to 6 p.m. every Saturday on WJR. However, both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Hello there, Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of The Internet Advisor, with a live program here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, WJR 760 AM. Hi, we may be a surprise for you, because normally we're heard from 4 until 6 p.m. Today, we're going to shift a little bit to make way for a big MSU basketball game that starts with the pregame coverage at 5 p.m. Up until that time, we're going to learn about shopping local and about a blazing fast new connection to the Internet, as well as getting your questions in our second hour.
To the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Well, it's our pleasure to join you a little earlier in the afternoon here on Saturday with our tech team. In case you're not familiar with us, our name is the Internet Advisor, and Gary Baker and I have been co-hosting that for going on 18 years this coming February. Gary, it's good to have you in studio again.
It's always great to be here, and love to be here a little early.
And also with us is Mr. Ed Rudell, who is one of our tech team members. Eddie, good to have you here.
Taking a break from all that Amazon shopping.
Ah-ha! That's a good little hook to what we'll be talking about in just a little bit. And our friend from the dark side, Cal Carson, the man from Apple.
It's so nice to be here. I tell you, you know, if it wasn't for this, I'd be doing something else. And in the words of Gary Baker, who said, all games end in the fourth quarter.
With the last play.
Exactly.
With our Michigan sports teams recently, that's literally been true. Well, we got a great program, guys, lined up today. We're going to be talking in just a minute with Matt Chosin, who has got a really neat wrinkle on shopping online, which hopefully will bring people back to shopping locally, back into their communities. And I think all of us would love to see our hometowns, our communities, benefiting from people bringing their business back here, but also have the convenience of being able to look for things online.
Yeah,
as well.
And that's really it, too. And a lot of people, you know, sometimes they can get it cheaper online because they don't have to stock it in a store or whatever, so they're able to sell it a little cheaper. But a lot of times it's just the convenience.
Yeah, well, we'll
I want to be able to go buy it when I want to buy it.
Exactly. But although, for instance, if you buy it online, sometimes you may have to wait 2-3 days, sometimes a long time to get it. And well, we'll talk with Matt about that in just a minute. But the other thing is we're going to be talking with Randy Foster, who is one of the co-founders of Rocket Fiber, which is over the last three, four weeks, folks, we've been doing this kind of a special feature in this first hour of the Internet Advisor, which we dedicate to talking with experts in a particular area. And we've been talking about connectivity, especially high-speed connectivity.
Oh, I thought you were talking about cereal.
Cereal?
Yeah, I thought it was a new cereal out called Rocket Fiber. I just wanted to break up his rhythm. He does so darn good. But anyway.
You did. You did. Goes through you like a rock. No. Randy will be here to talk about that.
next step in connectivity.
It's high-speed data instead of the other stuff.
I won't be able to erase that from the blackboard of my mind.
I'm looking at the box of cereal with the little rocket on it, you know, guys smiling, pouring it in the milk on it. It's great.
Oh, my Lord. In any case, we've got a lot of things going on the fair state of Michigan. I was noticing in the news, they're talking about the big merger between Dow and DuPont going
That's
on.
Incredible.
Isn't it incredible? $130 billion, I think, was the combined.
That's huge. Who was the bigger of the two?
DuPont? DuPont, I believe, is the bigger of the two.
Yeah, I
think so.
And Dow's been around for a long, long time.
Oh, since the early 1800s.
If you run out of things to do, you ought to go in and look at the history of that company. You know, they were one of the people who helped invent mustard gas, believe it or not. And then they got out of the business, and then it all shifted over to Germany. It was really fascinating. Wow. I started reading on that. It was really great.
Well, what I found interesting, too, in looking at some of the articles about it is the kind of almost science fiction nature of some of the things that are being done with genomics or genetic mutations of crops. And it's absolutely astounding what's going on. But anyway, that big event, Dow will stay where it's at, apparently. And it's supposed to be called, the new company could be called Dow DuPont. That'll be coming in the near future. We saw something, Charlie Hopper must be grinning from ear to ear, our friend up in the UP, because the Keweenaw Peninsula has, up in Houghton, the organizations up there, have won an award from Connect Michigan, which is an organization that helps to get more people in Michigan connected to the internet in faster and faster speeds, and we've interviewed them quite often. Well, the Keweenaw Peninsula, which, by the folks, is that little horn on the upper part of Michigan that goes out into Lake Superior, beautiful area. Gary, some of your wife's ancestors are from there.
We're from, they have a little cabin in Bootjack.
Bootjack, that's
and
right.
And when the whole family goes up, we double the population of Bootjack.
Now, are they considered Youpers or Keweenawians?
They're pasties.
They're Youpers. I think they're just Youpers.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Keweenaw won. The contest they won was for the development of the Keweenaw Peninsula application. Mm-hmm. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about mobile apps and how important they're becoming, even more important than websites nowadays.
Right. Mobile first has been a battle cry for a lot of companies. So.
Absolutely, and that's what's going on here. And the Keweenaw Peninsula has stepped into that mightily and have developed a wonderful application that tells people about things that are going on in the Keweenaw Peninsula, Houghton and Hancock, Michigan Technological University is up there.
That's right.
A lot of great stuff in the UP.
Abandoned copper mines. And,
And just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful
it really
country
is.
Up there.
And, the shout out to the folks that own the Isle Royal Queen. You can go to the very tip top of the Keweenaw to Copper Harbor.
That's right.
And pick up the ferry boat that goes over to Isle Royal.
And our tip of the hat is also to Charlie Hopper, who many, many, many years ago was one of the first people that we spoke with here on the Internet Advisor in the late 90s, and he was starting pasty.net, and it has been a great source of information about the Upper Peninsula, and especially about the Keweenaw Peninsula for many, many years.
And the first time that we actually did a video conference call on the air was with Charlie Hopper. We did it
the
hair dryer shop.
Those old beehive hair dryers, that's what they had.
We were in the beauty shop of the retirement center up there. That's
I
where
love
we
it. He makes some great pasties as well. Anyway, congratulations to Charlie Hopper and all the folks up there in Keweenaw Peninsula. Hey, coming up in just a moment, we're going to see if we can find a way to help you get those great deals you see on Amazon locally in stores near you. Shop till you drop. That's kind of the cry that's out there right now for all the different holidays that are going on. Many different kinds of festivals being celebrated at this time of year. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host and producer of the Internet Advisor. And if you've just kind of bumped into us here, welcome. We normally are on the air from 4 until 6 on Saturday afternoons, but have shifted a little bit because big basketball game coming up with MSU. Pre-game starts at 5 o'clock. And so shop till you drop is the cry that goes out at this time of year. And I think most of us would really love to be able to do more of that kind of shopping closer to home, to see the stores in our communities benefit from our sales. Well, somebody who is he's got a fascinating idea about that is our guest right now. His name is Matt Chosett. He's the CEO of Get Price Local. And Matt, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, Foster, thanks for having me on.
Delighted to have you here. Matt, explain your concept about taking Amazon and using it as a way of getting people to buy local.
Sure. What Price Local is a web tool that when someone's shopping on Amazon, if they have Price Local installed, they can ask whether they can find that same product from a local store and get it today at the Amazon Prime price.
Wow. Okay, and the way it works, by the way, I have mine installed, is there's a little icon that appears. Once you install this app, it appears on the, in your toolbar.
It appears on the toolbar of your browser for Safari, Firefox, and Chrome.
Okay, right. Oh, not on not on Edge or Internet Explorer yet, huh?
We're not on Edge or Internet Explorer right now.
Okay.
But, they're pretty different technologies. Actually, Edge is going to support Chrome and Firefox shortly.
Ah, okay, good, good.
Matt, we really could have used this when you and I were working at Borders, eh?
Absolutely. Well, so, you know, I was at Borders for, as you know, for about 12 and a half years. And, you know, saw the good times and the bad times there. And actually helped, you know, shut the lights off, frankly.
Oops.
And it kind of inspired an idea. You know, when people used to walk into the store and they, you know, Amazon sold their bestsellers at 40% off and we had ours at 30% off, you know, if somebody would ask, can I get that at 40% off? We would say no. And they, you know, walk out of the store and go buy it from Amazon. No, I'm not saying that Amazon was the only reason that Borders went out of business. But that competition was very fierce.
Yep, exactly.
And they certainly... You know, they encourage folks to walk in and to showroom. They've got it right on their app. You can scan the barcode while you're standing in the store. And so after that experience at Borders, I thought to myself, you know, turnabout's fair play.
Yeah.
And could we take some of these shoppers who are at home, who are doing their research and looking on Amazon? And by the way, it turns out, just so you know, that Amazon search accounts for 44% of all online product searches, more than Google, Yahoo, and Bing combined.
Wow.
So when people are, and so Google has said Amazon is their biggest competitor. When people are searching at home for products, they're using Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That makes
sense.
So
we thought, well, hang on a second. Can we connect, you know, kind of connect that loop? Because when people are, a lot of people are using Amazon to make purchases, and that's fine. They're doing $100 billion this year, you know, become a juggernaut. But a lot of people, like I said, are doing research. They're reading the reviews. They want to understand the product. And frankly, I'm going to throw out a bunch of numbers at you. 92% of retail is still done in stores. People like going to the store. They like dealing with a real person.
Yeah.
Right? And they want to be able to get it today. And you see a lot of
That's true.
Because you're seeing, you know, investment in same-day delivery and all that, right? People are happiest on Amazon when they press that buy button. They're actually less happy 3 or 5 days later when the package shows up.
That's interesting. Right? Wow.
But the local store can put it in your hands today.
Yep.
And with no delivery charge, with no shipping premium. You know, we don't think that the same-day delivery, frankly, is going to work out in the long run. It's a terrible business model. It's really old wine in a new bottle. It's called courier service. Very expensive.
Yeah.
And, we're, you know, people are subsidizing a little bit with investment right now. In the long run, stores are going to be around.
Okay. Cal, you had a question.
Well, here's the puzzling question that comes up to me. Here I am, Mr. Local Shop Owner, and I sell hamster wheels, and I sell 2,200 hamster wheels in a year, and Amazon sells 22 billion of them in a wheel in a year. Why am I dropping my price just to be able to be competitive?
It's a great, great question. So, first of all, very many times you're not dropping your price. What we're asking the shop owner to consider doing, and they receive these requests on a case-by-case basis, they get a text via on their phone, and they can respond to it. They're being asked if they'll match the Amazon Prime price. Now, what consumers aren't giving a lot of credit for to the local retail store is Amazon has baked a ton of their shipping costs back into that Amazon Prime price. So when we've talked to retailers and they've looked at their prices, they're very, very competitive with these Amazon Prime prices. So it's oftentimes, it's really a fair price. but it's usually not the lowest rock bottom price on the internet anymore.
And that's what I was talking to Foster about a few weeks ago. I've only been doing Amazon Prime for a year and a half, 2 years, and I've noticed on smaller items, I do better if I go to a local store, because you can really tell that Amazon is tacking on the shipping cost on top of the cost. If I search for an item on Amazon Prime, it's usually $4 or $5 cheap or more expensive than some of the other people.
And let me try and make sure I understand this.
Yeah.
To be a Prime member, you have to pay a fee, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was the other way around.
You pay $99.
$99.
Yeah.
So if I take that fee and just save that for myself and shop local, hey, that's $100 in my pocket. I could buy two hamster wheels instead of one.
Right. But the other benefit, I mean, as I see, and our guest is going to probably say, if I can get you in the store, you're a captive audience at this point. You're going to find another knickknack on the shelf.
And there's nothing that makes me happier than instant gratification. I can take it home right now.
You can get in the store. You can get it right now. Now, for that shop owner, you're right. Maybe that margin is a tiny bit less. So there's a little acquisition cost. But you come in the store. Have you ever gone in the store and just bought that one thing? You go in the store and you know, you get great service.
You're not only going to buy the hamster wheels.
You get the bicycle helmet and, you know, the bicycle bottle that goes with the bike, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sure. Every time I go into Micro Center, I walk in, I buy one thing and walk right out.
Of course you do. Yeah.
No, I hear exactly what you're saying. You're making a great point. And for all those people who are merchants out there and listening, pay close attention. There's a lot to be learned in this.
Matt Chosa, by the way, is our guest. He's the CEO of Get Price Local. By the way, you can go to internetadvisor.net, and when you click on the podcast in our show notes, we have a link to that Get Price Local, and you can see a little bit more about it there. Matt, it would seem like the Achilles heel here is getting the local shop owners to buy what you're selling.
Actually, we've found we've had really robust signups of store owners, and you know, it's free for them to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
They receive these requests. They can actually, they're getting access to this traffic that they have no access to right now. People sitting at home or at work shopping on Amazon, and they can see, you know, what people are looking for. And it's up to them. They can make a choice. Do I want to drive this traffic today? Is this a good price for me to sell at? Or is it not?
Sure.
We've actually. We had a test here in Ann Arbor last summer. When we launched, there was a nice article in MLive about us, and it had an astounding response of both consumers and shop owners signing up and really seeing the value proposition on both sides.
Hmm. Yeah, I would love this. I've discovered I can use Amazon to ship those automobile parts. Struts are usually either a third or a half the cost than me going to a local mom and pop or even a retail auto store. If I can get a local auto store to match the prices, that's great. That would be wonderful.
All right, let's go back to Matt Chosa is our guest here. It's called Get Price Local. And again, you can go to internetadvisor.net, click there. So when I go there, what happens? What's the process?
It's very simple. For a consumer, you put in your email address, you click sign up, and it puts the browser extension into your Chrome, Firefox, or Safari browser. Okay. Then you shop on Amazon the way you normally would, or browse on Amazon the way you normally would. A little banner will drop down when you're on a product detail page, which is, you know, the page where they actually sell something, and basically say, hey, would you like to get this product today from a local store? You click the button and say yes, and then you get a response back from your local store. By the way, the stores have choices when they get these requests. They can say yes, we've got that, and we're willing to match that Prime price. They can say, well, hey, we'll order that for you. You know, maybe you don't need it exactly today, but, you know, we'll order it and we'll sell it at that price.
Matt, hang on a second.
Sure.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to continue the conversation with you for just a little bit longer and talk about some of the publicity you've been receiving recently. It's kind of interesting how, even on a national level, people are looking at this. Thank you for joining us at this special time for the Internet Advisor. We're going to be here until 5 o'clock before, that's when the big pregame show starts for Michigan State University basketball this evening. So we're going to be on from now until then. And in this first hour, the first guest we've had on is Matt Chosen. Matt is the CEO of Get Price Local. And we're going to be continuing with him in just a moment. By the way, Randy Foster, who is one of the co-founders of
Rocket Fiber will be with us in just a moment, talking about that brand new way of connecting at super high speeds in downtown Detroit and what the future of that is. But right now, Matt, let's go back to you. The way this works is that your object is to get people into local stores to buy these articles that you find on Amazon. For instance, I went on Amazon. I had something on a wish list. I went there and I clicked on it. What is my next step then? I've got this, you know, in my sights. I've got, this happens to be a Microsoft Band, device for, you know, measuring your pulse and things like that from Microsoft.
Okay.
I've got that in my window right now. Where do I go from there, Matt?
Do you have the browser extension installed?
Yep.
Okay, so if you have the browser extension installed, you're on Amazon, you're looking at the product you want, there's a banner that should drop down saying Price Local on it.
Oh, yes, I see. It's Price Local. I see. Okay.
And you, if you're logged in, you just press Submit Request. If you're not logged in, you put in your email address right there and click Submit, and that request will go out to local stores.
And I just
who would carry that product.
I hit Submit Request, and it says Request sent to local stores. Most stores respond in less than an hour. Now, how will they respond to me for our listeners?
They will respond to you via an email. So you've given them you've given us your email address. You're interacting with us, actually. We're the intermediary. We're sending it on to those stores. They're going to actually receive a text. These smaller local stores will receive a text to their phone. And we tell you that, you know, you'll hear back in less than an hour. Frankly, we've seen that stores who are signed up with text are responding sometimes in 1 or 2 minutes. So you get a very quick response.
It's a race to get to me then, to have me say, you know, to let me know, hey, we've got what you want at this price.
Exactly. And frankly, you know, it's interesting. The search is really the cake. The price is kind of the frosting, the way I look at it. I feel like a lot of times you're on Amazon, you're doing that research, you're reading the reviews, and now you want to go get it, and you want it right now. You've got to jump off and Google around or figure out where can I pick up the phone. This is really short-circuiting that process and putting it right there.
I love it. Making them get in touch with you.
My wife and I were just talking about this, how sometimes we use Amazon to search for items, and then we go to the stores, and the same thing how we would go to, like, Rock Auto, and what a wonderful interface Rock Auto has to break down automobile parts for your vehicle. And you can either choose to purchase those parts from rockauto.com. Mm-hmm. They have a great interface for looking for automobile parts. Or you just go to the local store, or you then go to Amazon or eBay to purchase those parts because they give you the OEM number. So in essence, what you're doing is you're using the power of Amazon's search engine, and you can either make the purchase there or you can throw it out to the local retailers. But you're using Amazon's own power against them. I love it.
I think of it as kind of a judo move. That's exactly right. 175 million visitors show up at Amazon every month. It's a huge audience.
Aren't you kind of like standing in the middle of the tracks and thumbing your nose at the express that's coming down the road after you?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Well, you know, here's Amazon out there. They're going to sell us, and you're kind of standing in the middle of the road thumbing your nose at
them. Well, we're the little guy for sure. No question. But we're trying to also help a lot of other little guys. I think if a lot of little guys get together in a network, they can have a lot of power.
All right, Kel?
Okay, so two questions. Number one, my email address is not going to be given to that merchant.
Correct.
You're like Craigslist does.
That's right. Your email address will not be given to the store.
Okay.
And then my second...
Now, the store would love to have your email address, so you get a coupon back, and you go in, and they acquire you as a customer. They sign you up for their loyalty program, then they acquire your email address. But we're not giving it to them.
Yeah.
Nice. The other question is, do you have any plans to have this available on a mobile platform, such as iOS or Android?
We're desktop, laptop only right now. It's interesting. There's a great reason for both the consumer and the retailer. People don't realize this. There's a lot of mobile traffic, but 75% of e-commerce is still done desktop, laptop.
I believe that.
When people get serious about e-com, they move over to the bigger screen. It's tough to. There's a nice article actually in CNET yesterday. Yeah, how terrible it is to try to, you know, to actually buy stuff on
buy
on
something
your
on your phone, no matter how big the phone is.
Yeah, but you could buy it on your tablet though, right?
From the retailer standpoint, think about it. Desktop, laptop, where are you?
I'm at home.
You're at home or you're at work. Yeah. You're not in the store trying to see whether you can. Right? So from it's really win-win.
I love it. Matt Chosen, we've got to move on right now, but I want to thank you very much for providing this for us.
Thanks,
fascinating Roger. Program. It's called Get Priced Local. Again, if you go to internetadvisor.net and click on today's program, in our show notes, you'll see a link off to that, and you can start getting involved in that and find out more about that. Matt, thanks again, and a very happy holiday shopping season to you.
Happy holiday to you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. That's Matt Chosen. Fascinating, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it sure
is. I love it. I love that analogy. It's a great model. I hope it takes off for him.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, if you could get that price and do a shop local and do that where you, if you want to go in, you'd actually look at it, pick up the product.
That's exactly it.
And if you need to, have to take it back in a few days. You know, it's easy to do. You don't have to pack it up
and mail it. How many times have we talked with people, for instance, here on the air about getting a computer? And you can go on and do all the research. You can do find all you want. My daughter, I think she put it perfectly.
She
said, I went to Micro Center because I wanted to get my hands on it.
Oh, my gosh.
To see what that was like.
That tactile feel.
I was working with someone's computer, and it was the worst. I never thought I would experience this. The worst keyboard I've ever touched.
I did not like
the spacing. No. Spacing of it was just strange. It frightened me. I would never purchase this computer.
Well, the other thing, too, is you have gorilla hands like mine. You need a special kind of a board.
It's never happened. I've worked on all these different manufacturers. I've worked on Gateways, Dells, HPs, Lenovos, and I haven't mentioned the one that frightened me. I would.
Was this the first time you typed without the boxing gloves?
So I understand the necessity to wanting to touch it.
But and that's the best way to buy. I mean, you have to see, feel, and touch, and those are the advantages that local will give you.
Yep. I love this kind of combination of the two technologies. I just wonder how long Amazon is going to let him do this before they try to stamp him out for some way.
How are they going to do it?
No, I don't know.
I mean, then they would have to take some of their business and send it to local stores. Would Amazon want to do that?
If anything, Amazon would usurp him and do the same thing and offer the same service
to
Amazon directly to retailers.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be interesting.
Hey, I want to make sure that we introduce our next guest because I want to make sure we have enough time to talk with him about this new experience that's happening in downtown Detroit. Folks, over the last few weeks, we've been sharing with these different ways in which different companies have been providing higher and higher speed access to the internet through metropolitan Detroit, and especially downtown. Well, one of those new ways of getting on the internet and getting there in blinding speed is through a company called Rocket Fiber, and one of the co-founders is with us right now. That's Randy Foster. Randy, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us here. Rocket Fiber, when did you folks launch?
That's a sort of two-part question. So Rocket Fiber was officially founded in 2014, June.
Yeah.
We started our alpha program in early October, and we're going to officially be officially launched in January.
Okay, so it's going to be 2016. This thing is going to be a reality. I asked that question about when it launched because I've been hearing about Rocket Fiber for a long time. What is it that's kept it from being a reality for us up until now?
So, construction, really. It takes a lot of time to put all the infrastructure in the ground and build everything from the ground up, especially when, it's brand new technology, cutting edge, and just logistics of getting all the pieces in place ready to go.
Now, as I understand it, Randy, that you have the part of this construction job has been to get the fiber feed from the internet into locations in downtown Detroit as a step one. Am I right on it?
Correct. We put in our backbone fiber, which is about 6.5 miles in the downtown area. We're currently building our backbone in Midtown right now. And then from there, we have to build laterals into all the buildings because we're fiber end-to-end, taking that last mile piece, which is traditionally copper, either coax or over phone lines, and we're just bringing fiber directly into a unit.
And the real value and differentiator for you is that this is also for residential use, right?
Exactly.
That's a huge jump.
Most everybody we've been talking to, it's about serving the businesses, right?
Exactly.
And this is for residential. So the people living downtown will actually have be able to take advantage of this.
So when you say you're bringing the backbone down, explain for our listeners what that means.
So in downtown Detroit, that means that we have to dig a trench everywhere we go. There, for a number of reasons, you can't do any of the other type of construction techniques like boring or micro trenching for a variety of reasons. So we had to cut a 3-foot wide, 3-foot deep trench and actually put conduit in there, and then fill it all back up and restore the concrete, and then pull our fiber through that conduit that we put down there.
So is this going to be available? I mean, you're doing all the hard work, the heavy digging. Can you put anything else through there? How else can you leverage all that work that you're doing?
I don't know that if you're alluding towards maybe putting electrical lines or something like that.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I was thinking, wow, that's a lot of work. Too bad you can't either use somebody else's right-of-way privileges or somehow, you know, take advantage of some leverage you're putting in.
Well, we did that with M1 Rail, right? So up and down Woodward, there was a lot of construction going on, and we do that wherever we can. A lot of cities have implemented what they call a Dig Once program, where whenever a construction project goes out, they'll notify all of the telecommunications or utility providers in the area and try to coordinate so that they don't have to come back.
Using the same hole, Dig Once. Randy Foster is our guest here. He's one of the he's a CEO and one of the co-founders of Rocket Fiber. We're going to talk some more about what that connection means for consumers as well as businesses here in Detroit. In case you are joining us perhaps for the first time hearing about the Internet Advisor, I'd like to let you know we have a second hour coming up. And starting at 4 o'clock after the news, we're going to be opening up our phone lines at 800-859-0957. You'll be hearing that repeated plenty of times. 800-859-0957. That's a toll-free number. And you get to call in your questions. So it's a great time if you've had a computer question that you want to have answered. Ed and Cal, Gary and I are in here. I'm more here just to drive the bus. They're the folks who are really smart and have all the hands-on experience. But they're here to help you answer those questions. And our motto here is the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. So, for instance, maybe you're looking to buy something for somebody, a laptop, and you'd like some advice or another kind of a device. We'd love to help you with those decisions as well. So questions about your computers or devices and about the Internet and maybe even some shopping help.
Well, and the best part, too, is that when you ask a question, you're probably asking it for a lot of other people that have the same questions. So it gives us an opportunity to address the issue and answer it for a whole bunch of people that are listening.
And that'll come up at the top after news at the top of the hour, 800-859-0957. Right now, we're continuing a conversation with Randy Foster. He is the CEO and co-founder of Rocket Fiber. It was part of Rocket Ventures and Quicken Loans family of companies, a Detroit-based internet service provider that is dedicated to bringing affordable gigabit internet and breathtaking HDTV and an industry-leading personalized client experience to residents and businesses in Detroit. Randy, we've been kind of talking, you know, during the break here amongst ourselves about what a project this is to put this fiber down. As you're saying, you got to dig a trench to do that. This is awfully expensive. Is that what's been keeping us from getting more of this high-speed fiber input to Detroit?
Yeah, the barriers to entry in this particular industry, I mean, especially when we talk about a dense urban environment, it becomes cost prohibitive. So the construction technique we were talking about costs about $150 a foot to build. In a more reasonable construction method like boring costs about $30 a foot. So it's definitely very expensive in these type of environments, and it's a large barrier of entry to just get everything up and running and started from the beginning.
Are you strictly going to come out from the downtown area and then go, star out from that area? Or are you going to start any satellite ones and go back toward downtown? Let's say, you know, Oakland County, Macomb County, that sort of thing.
I think all the options are open. The natural progression is just to keep extending from where you've already built. But there's always opportunities, and you can get long-haul fiber between two different points and be able to submit up a satellite. We're evaluating exactly where and what Rocket Fiber expansion plans look like. You know, it took us about 2 years to get to this point, and all that while we've been trying to do the same type of evaluation to see where we go next. So we'll hopefully be announcing some stuff in 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Randy, where will the consumers be who will be able to take advantage of getting this pure fiber dealt to them at home for, well, I guess about $70 a month?
Yep, we are launching at $70 a month for our gigabit internet package, and $299 for our 10 gig internet package for the residents. You can start getting it in the Central Business District, and starting in early 2016, some areas in Midtown you'll be able to receive this fiber, and we'll be rapidly expanding our service area from there.
How do we stimulate Rocket Fiber to come in our particular area? Let's say, I don't know, Southern Oakland County, somewhere around Southfield or so, and I wanted to get that to get out there so I can enjoy really fast fiber at a reasonable cost.
I was kind of thinking Ann Arbor myself.
So if you go to www.rocketfiber.com and we have a Get Fiber page, if you put your information there, it definitely helps see where demand is, and that will help us figure out exactly how to get and where to get go to first.
So when you say downtown or in the Central District area, can you give me some specifics about where that's going to be and who's going to be able to tap into that?
So some of the buildings that we're currently in are located around Capitol Park. That's a subsection of Detroit, Central Business District Detroit, just on the other side of Woodward.
Okay.
We're also in sort of midtown area, mm-hmm. By Traffic Jam and Snug. We're up by that area, so we'll be bringing some residential units on there, mm-hmm. probably early 2016.
So you got two residential buildings, I think, that you're going to open with. Is that going to help drive people, renting or buying condo units in those buildings?
Yeah, actually, historically, there's been several studies that show that property values actually increase about equivalent to, if it's a single family home, about equivalent to having air conditioning. So it's about $5,000 property value increase. Similarly, the same thing happens when you look at apartments, because one of the first things people look for is, where is it? And then how do I get the things that I need, which are TV and internet nowadays?
Mm-hmm. And you're offering them this blazing fast connection. Is it the David Broderick building that, my understanding, was the one that you're, one of the ones you're starting with?
The Albert in Detroit right now. Mm-hmm. And the Malcolmson is the other building.
Okay. This is part of Dan Gilbert's vision, am I right, for developing Detroit?
Yeah, it's definitely a big economic play. We like to use the 1+1=3 scenario, which is you're starting to drive down new talent and you're trying to build up Detroit to be a tech hub. What better thing than have an underlying reliable infrastructure like this that will help magnify all the other investment that's going on?
Mm. So where does this fit in his strategy then for development of Detroit?
I think what's interesting is we always use an example. There's a co-working space that took almost 6 months to get up and running. And not only did it take as long as it did, but they also ended up with substandard speed. So it was very hard to do business for that particular type of industry down here, right? And so if you're trying to do entrepreneurship, what better way than have a co-working space, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that, as Dan Gilbert's buying all these buildings and trying to recruit talent and tenants down here, you definitely needed this type of infrastructure, and people want high-speed access, and they want it at an affordable price.
Do you have other models that you're working on from other places in the U.S., or are you kind of, breaking some fairly new ground with what you're doing here?
Well, we were heavily inspired by the Google Fiber project, right? They were sort of the leaders in doing this when they brought it on Kansas City. And so the model is sort of proven as far as what internet is and how to make money on internet. What it took is a visionary like Dan Gilbert to be able to back this. Like we talked about, the initial is a large amount to be able to back this in a way that allowed us to go out and build the new infrastructure to take advantage of the new technologies and do it all from the day one and not
I'm thinking of a city. Is it Chattanooga, Tennessee, that has a gigabit connection system?
Yeah, Chattanooga was developed by EPB, which is the utility down there. They got a large government grant out of the business to do that.
And as I understand, it has created this incredible atmosphere. High tech, it's helped businesses, people are moving into Chattanooga. It's just transformed the city. So I guess I have that same kind of hope for Detroit with the efforts that you young whippersnappers are stepping in and making. So it's going to start, we're going to begin to see this really, people connecting to this in 2016. And again, I want to thank you very much, Randy, for being with us here. Randy Foster is one of the co-founders and developer of Rocket Fiber. If you'd like to find out more about that, Go to rocketfiber.com or go to internetadvisor.net and click on today's program, and you'll find more information about it there. Randy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care. Folks, coming up in just a moment, we're going to have a break for the news and then the second part of the Internet Advisor, kind of the part that we have the most fun with, and that is connecting with you. And the only way that happens is if you get on the phone with us and share with us your question or concern. Maybe you're trying to buy something for somebody, you want some advice, or you've got some problems with your computer, getting on the Internet, getting around it, or, as we say, getting over it sometimes. The number is 800-859-0957. That again is 800-859-0957. Start calling.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now, let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Thank you for joining us for what is now hour two of this special edition of the Internet Advisor. Normally, we're on from 4 until 6 in the afternoons, and what's happened today is that we've been on starting at 3 o'clock. So this is the hour that you call in with your questions at 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957. Your questions, we're looking forward to answering them. And Mike Brennan is up in just a moment with headlines from MI Tech News. Welcome aboard for the second hour of the Internet Advisor. What, you say? I'm normally coming here at 4 o'clock for the beginning of the Internet Advisor. Well, we've been on for an hour. Kind of a little of a shift that's gone on today because Michigan State basketball, the pregame show, will start at 5 o'clock. And we have been very graciously, the programmers here gave us time to have both of our hours on. We talked with some guests in the first hour. And now, our lines are open at 800-859-0957 for your questions, and we'll be here until 5 o'clock. So please don't kind of wait around thinking that at 5 o'clock you're going to get to ask your questions. We'll have gone home by then. So if you have any questions for us, this is the time to ask. You know, kind of think of it as like all of a sudden a computer shop has opened up in your area, and you have direct access to it with some great techs there who, like Ed Rudell and Cal Carson, Gary Baker, have been around technology for a long time, have had their hands on it, and both Ed and Cal are professional troubleshooters for the executives at General Motors. So, I mean, they have some pretty important systems that they're entrusted in taking care of. And so, again, that number, 800-859-0957. This is also the time of the program that we invite you to join us for a look at some of the headlines on MI Tech News. And the man to help us take that look is none other than the editor, Mr. Mike Brennan. Mike, how you doing?
Doing great. Boy, I bet you got at least 100 years of experience on that show. I was listening to the warm-up there, right? You know, so. Probably Gary alone's got 100 years of experience.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say something like that, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Hey, we're going to talk about the other end of the demographic official. You had a fascinating headline in there about younger Grand Rapids demographics make it sound like Portland. Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, every year the Right Place, which is the big economic development group in West Michigan, has George Arachek come in from the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research, and he does his forecast. And if anybody's been to downtown Grand Rapids lately, and I grew up in the area, and now I live in Ann Arbor, but I get back from time to time, downtown is kind of like downtown Detroit. All the young people are flocking in. Well, because of all that, because they're better educated, when he worked his numbers out, apparently, because of those folks between 25 and 34, it compares very favorably with Portland, Oregon, which is a high-tech center. So, I mean, I was real surprised to read that.
That is interesting and exciting to hear that kind of potential is out there across the state. Excellent. Yeah. Hey, something I saw that was kind of fascinating, one of your other headlines, is that there's a cyber squadron that has been assigned to Battle Creek's Air National Guard Base. This is kind of coming just in time for the Star Wars movie coming out.
Well, there's somewhat of a relationship there, but a little different, I think. But anyway, this squadron has 70 new jobs, and it's Air National Guard guys who are really trained to be cyber warriors. And it's part of the cyber range hub they already had, and that's through Merritt and Ann Arbor. Anyway, so they had that already there, and there's only four of these squadrons that have been set up around the country, and we got one in Michigan.
Wow, so that's pretty impressive. And so they will be based there, and their job will be what, to be kind of on the lookout for attacks coming in from?
Well, or launching attacks. If things happen, and then they would. There's all sorts of very sophisticated cyber weaponry that can be used on somebody that's attacking you, but mostly it's to defend rather than to attack.
Right. So. That would be a big center for that coming up in Battle Creek. Absolutely fascinating. Now, we've been talking about, matter of fact, we talked about rocket fiber with Randy Foster, who was a guest of yours on your M Square TechCast just recently, about rocket fiber coming to downtown Detroit. It looks like AT&T, from one of your headlines, is going to be joining that gigabit internet parade in Detroit.
Well, along with Comcast Cable, those are the three that have raised their hands right now and said that they're going to be doing this. Now, Rocket's come out with pricing and what area they're going to be offering that in. Mm-hmm. It's primarily the downtown up to a little bit towards Midtown where you guys are. What Comcast and AT&T are going to do, they haven't really said yet. They haven't really said how much. But I think because Rocket, jumped the gun here and said they were going to do it, then, they maybe had to force their hand a little bit to say, hey, wait a minute, now we're also doing this. So and I maybe think that's what's going on.
And they may be setting the price a little bit. That's a pretty good price from Rocket Fiber.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get Comcast here in Ann Arbor, and I bet I spend $60 a month, and it's nowhere near a gigabyte.
Right. No, and they're talking about $70 a month for a gigabit connection.
Excuse me, yes.
Yeah, has AT&T said anything about what their speeds are going to be? I mean, what their connection fee is going to be?
No, they haven't said the how much part, but apparently it's going to be very broad all over, just like Comcast is going to be very broad. Right now, Rocket just has their fiber in downtown primarily.
I got you.
But AT&T, of course, and Comcast are everywhere, and they're going to be rolling theirs out to a much bigger footprint, but they haven't really defined where that is yet.
You know what? I think this coming week, guys, what we'll try to do is to get both AT&T representatives and Comcast on, to be absolutely fair, and to talk about this push, because it sounds like the year 2016 is going to be a year for breaking the sound barrier on the internet for a lot of people. A lot of us are going to be able to connect, it sounds like, at much, much faster speeds than we've ever imagined before. Hey, before you go, Mike, I want you to talk kind of quickly about your M Square TechCast and what that is and how people can listen to that.
Well, it's real easy. We don't have broadcast capability. We're all over the internet. But we do it every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. at podcastdetroit.com, where, of course, you guys have your podcast located
as
well.
That's right.
And sort of the M&M show, so we call it M Squared because it's Matt and Mike, two guys that competed against each other for 20 years, and now we play nice in the studio. So,
Matt Roush and Mike Brennan, exactly.
So we have fun. We have great guests, and we're going to really start to amp up the conversation starting next year.
Excellent. Mike, thanks so much for that. I'll tell folks in just a minute how they can get hold of MI Tech News. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. We're chuckling because Ed was threatening to pull back the curtain here, and we might as well do it. See, what happens, folks, is I bring my MacBook in here, and I count on Cal being here to help me with my technical problems, and that's what he was doing offline with me.
And to be completely fair, because you're a Mac user, that's what I do. We also have another vintage Internet Advisor person here who sometimes taps on the Windows side of the world, and it's a great balance in how we do things.
That's
here.
Exactly,
it's lots of fun.
So if you are running a Mac machine out there, an Apple machine, have concerns or questions about iOS or about OS 10 and any of that, please feel free to give us a call. Cal is an expert in that area. And Eddie, you do work on all sorts of systems, but in particular, Windows is your area.
Yeah, it is. And a lot more Androids. And we had a caller a few weeks ago that called in, gave us his email address, and I promised him to send him information because he was tapping all of our brain cells about what we used to do with on a 286 processor in the 80s, low 80s, like 84, and how to format the hard drive. You used to have to enter a debug mode, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we've tried emailing this gentleman several times. The screeners gave us his email address last week so I could send him this information from a colleague at work that's even older than I am that had manuals. And, and also I found YouTube videos and Microsoft articles about how to do this.
Uh-huh.
So I used Bing to search for it, and we've been unsuccessful in sending him this information. So if he wants to call our screeners, or better yet, if he goes to contact us, he goes to internetadvisor.net, mm-hmm. goes to the contact button on the top mm-hmm. right of the screen, he could type in there and say, hey, this is Rick, I think his name was, and type in his email address in there, because obviously I miswrote down his email address.
Right.
Our screeners did. Type it, please.
So, by the way, that, what Ed's talking about is one of the other ways that you can get questions to us, other than giving us a call right now. I mean, this is golden moment for you. If you've had something that's been driving you nuts with your computer, we've got a tremendous amount of talent in here. It's just kind of sitting here waiting for you to give us a call at 800-859-0957. And by the way, don't be bashful about that. When you ask your question, regardless of where you're calling from or what the level of question is, it doesn't have to be real fancy. You're helping a lot of other people when you do that. So again, the number is 800-859-0957. Cal?
You know something, it just dawned on me, too. If you happen to ask a question and you didn't write down all the information, you couldn't remember what Ed said, you can also go to iTunes, pull down our podcast there, replay that particular show, and hear exactly what Ed said. And if you get caught on something, you can rewind it, play it back again as many times you want until you get it right.
And there's all sorts of places to find us. You can, matter of fact, if you go back to internetadvisor.net, we have, you can download or you can listen to our podcast there. You can go to iTunes or you can go to podcastdetroit.com and you'll find us listed there as well. Okay, we got some calls coming in. And again, we're going to be here until 5 o'clock today. It's a little different than we normally do on Saturdays when we're usually on from 4 until 6 today. The schedule's a little bit different because of the basketball game coverage beginning at 5 o'clock.
Okay, so who do we have on the line?
Well, Eric Dorsch right now is setting things up. We've got Don getting lined up from Macomb, and we'll have him on. As a matter of fact, let's bring him in right now. Don, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
How can we help you?
Well, the last week or so, I've been having a new problem with my computer. When I turn on my email, I click on one of my emails, all of a sudden it hesitates for 30 to 60 seconds, and then at the bottom it says, Comcast is not responding because of a long-running script. And then there's a little box over there that says stop script, so I clicked on that, and it used to work fine. Now all of a sudden it shuts down my email and then reopens it back up again.
I actually had that same problem this morning when I was, what was I trying to access? And I got the, I think it was MSN.com, a long-running script. So I used Google Chrome to open up Microsoft's MSN website, and it opened up right away. A lot of times this is because of when you open up a particular website, it has to determine what web browser are you using, and then how do I tailor my ads to for that web browser so that you can see all that stuff that we really don't want to see, but they need to, you know, so they can have their website out there and sell revenue and get ad clicks and stuff like that. So try an alternate web browser would be my first guess.
Oh, okay.
It seems like that is what it is waiting for all the ads to load up on the right-hand side of my screen, and then finally when it loads up over there, then I can click on something and I will get some movement in my computer. But before that, it sits there and does nothing.
Yeah, so sometimes, a programmer will use an ActiveX control, and that is only used in some of the versions of Internet Explorer. We tell people don't do that because there's sometimes...
We being the great Gary Baker, and it's not a practice. No, it's not a practice that you should practice when developing a website anymore.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cal was giving me the evil eye. I'm going, what are you?
Well, you know, ActiveX, you know, HTML5 is, you know, what should be going on nowadays.
And that's where Gary's
absolutely
going.
Absolutely, they should. Yes. And we tell people not to do that, but they do it every once in a while anyway. Chrome deals with some of those a lot better and easier, and people shouldn't use them.
What
and
browser?
I don't know why they do that.
I'm curious now. What browser are you using right now?
Internet Explorer. Google comes up first, and then it's Internet Explorer.
Well, yeah. I mean, so you're saying you bring up you use Internet Explorer, and mm-hmm. your homepage is the Google Chrome, right?
Right.
I go to Xfinity.
Okay, Xfinity is your
homepage.
Oh, home
I'm sorry, page. I misinterpret that. Yeah. Okay.
That's okay, but you're using Internet Explorer, I believe it.
So correct. The question I have for you guys, being Windows-oriented, how does he update his Internet Explorer to offset this problem?
Well, it may not be a problem. What version of the operating system are you running? Are you running seven?
Seven.
So you're running Windows 7. And you're probably running Internet Explorer 11, I would imagine?
That one I'm not sure of, but I've never had this problem before. It seems like it usually works great.
And it could be just a corrupt script player, right? So if it's an ActiveX, it could be corrupt. So you could uninstall it and then reinstall it. And that might
and which one would I uninstall?
Well, before you do that, try it in an alternate browser like Chrome to access your email. And Gary's would be like the third step. So try it in Chrome, and then if it works in Chrome, go back to Internet Explorer and clean out your cache. So you go into the Internet Explorer tools, Internet options, and clean out your temporary Internet files.
Okay.
And
yep.
And just try that first and then I wouldn't go to the next step right away about uninstalling Internet Explorer. It could be a change they've made at the Comcast Mail website, you know, on their end. Give it a few days. And after they get a couple million complaints, maybe they'll fix it.
Right.
Sounds good. Yeah, I do have a contract, you know, and they take over remote access of my computer, mm-hmm. and they ran through the whole thing, and they says, "Hey, yes, you should. Everything's cleaned up. You're in good shape now." Of course, as soon as I brought up the email, the same thing happened again. So it barely was something that they couldn't quite figure out either.
Yeah. It's probably on their end, I would think.
And again, our advice generally to people out there is have more than one browser.
Okay.
That you're using, so that if you do run into problems, you can switch over, and at very least, it helps you with troubleshooting.
And even if you go back to the first one eventually, at least you can troubleshoot with the two. Find out if it's the browser itself.
And here's an example of what some of those scripts do. Have you ever noticed that when you go to Amazon.com or eBay and you're searching for items, and then the next time you open up your Comcast website, a homepage or Infinity, or if you go to even MSN, that the ads that are on that, or if even Facebook...
Yep.
That the ads are tailored to your searches. Guess what those scripts are doing? They're actually searching through your cookies and then tailoring their ads towards you.
Right.
So this is the busiest shopping time of the year.
Yep.
Man, they're probably scouring for cookies for stuff you wanted 6 months ago. This is all speculation, and I'm saying it in jest, but half jest.
Yeah,
really.
Half jest.
Beautiful.
Don, have a great holiday season.
Thank you so much for your help. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call. Okay, here's a number, folks, 800-859-0957. Got about a half an hour left. Don, down in Florida. Barbie, Bob, and Timothy in Southfield. We'll get to you folks in just a moment. And to your call as it's coming in now at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor on the air for you. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. We are actually in our second hour. Normally, this will be our first, but for those of you who are used to waiting until 5 to call, don't, because we're not going to be on the air at that point. Michigan State basketball will be on the pregame. And so we've got about another 25 minutes to answer your calls at 800-859-0957. Bob from deep in Florida, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Glad to have you on with us.
Well, thanks, guys. I grew up with you. I'm a native Ann Arbor guy. I just moved down here 4 years ago. And you know what? I can't find another station like WJR down here.
No. Oh, where is down here in Florida?
Bradenton.
Bradenton.
We're between Tampa and Sarasota, right in the middle.
Oh, wow. And you're listening to, I'm
beautiful
presuming, you're listening, to us on the Internet right now. I'm going to guess.
I'm listening to you actually off iHeartRadio.
Ah, iHeartRadio. That's excellent. Great application.
Yes.
Right, so what's your question for us?
Okay, I've got an iMac. I've had iMacs for years.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been working fine. Everything is continuing to work for fine, except for my iPhoto. All of a sudden, my photos are all there.
Yeah.
But when I go to open it, it opens and then just quits.
Okie dokie. For some reason or other, everyone in the room turned and looked at me. I have no idea why.
Why would that be, right? Just because you're the expert, right?
So just for fun, tell me, what version of Mac OS X are you running?
10.6, I believe.
10.6, okay. And when did this problem first happen to you?
Maybe about 3 weeks ago it started doing this. Up until then, I've not had any kind of problem.
at all.
Have you recently done an update on your computer?
No.
Okay, good. What you might...
I purposely don't update anything.
Oh, well, you know, sooner or later, you got to get around to doing that.
Yeah, what... buy a new iMac.
Yeah, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Listen, I think maybe what you might want to do is that on your machine, if you go up to the Go button on the menu there and hold down the Option key and click on it at the same time, you'll see a selection on there that'll show up that says Library.
Okay.
And then Library.
I'm not on right now, but
yeah. Then within Library, you're going to go into Preferences. And in Preferences, you're going to scroll down that list till you find the one that says com.apple.photo. And what you're going to do is you're going to take that P list that's in there, and you're going to drag that into your trash, and then close up the photo application, open it back up again, and that should probably fix it.
Now, a P list, or this particular file you're talking about, it's a database that contains the thumbnails and file listings, and it's corrupt. Is that where you're going?
It's a little, it's a preference list. It's all the settings and everything that goes along with it.
Oh, so it's a preference list for your
photo? For that one application.
Right,
application.
Okay. I misinterpreted it.
He's going to take and dump that out. It's going to create a brand new preference list for him, and it should rebuild that and get it up and going again.
All right.
Okay. Foster.
Yes, sir.
If I go back this afternoon and listen to your podcast, will I hear this again?
You will hear it on Sunday. I will be editing it and putting it back up probably late Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so then I can go back and listen to this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that, Bob, and because for the rest of you who are out there, if you miss a twist or turn in an answer or a question, you can simply go back to the podcast, and you can do that. You can also simply go back to internetadvisor.net, and there'll be a link right there that you can download.
Right, and you can download that entire MP3 and then send your voice to all of your relatives.
There you go.
Look at that.
That's just what they want to hear, my voice again.
Yeah, for Christmas, there you go.
So just to reiterate that, to make sure you got it right, the file you're looking for is called com.apple.photos.
Okay, I will try to remember that, and if not, I'll go back on your podcast and go through the whole thing.
You'll hear
it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You hear that? Hey, happy holidays to you down there in Florida.
To you guys, too, and we're waiting for the snow, which will never happen.
That's
oh, well.
Right.
We'd somehow be glad to send some of that to you.
Somehow I don't think he's going to be heartbroken about that. All right. Timothy from Southfield, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. Listen, I don't have a real problem. I just recently upgraded to Windows 10 from Windows 7 on my computer.
Yes.
And it's not broken, but when I click the Start button in the lower left-hand side, and it opens up that big box that has all your little Start icons and other things there, it's normally, they're normally blue, but sometimes they're sort of yellow. And I don't know why they're yellow. And I've looked all over the internet. I've tried to find what's going on. In fact, even the little Windows thing in the bottom left hand corner displays as yellow instead of displaying as clear, you know, gray like it normally does.
Is this a desktop computer?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I've seen this at work, and I have the problem because I have a laptop computer with an external monitor, and if the cable is not plugged in properly, that I lose one of the VGA signals. I lose one of the color signals on one of the pins that connects to from the computer to the monitor. So, I mean, that's what I suspect it is. I think if you unscrew the video cable and plug it back in, you'll probably be fine. Now, was this HDMI? Well, you know, I've seen this both on VGA, Super VGA, and HDMI, and Mini HDMI.
Like, oh, wow.
Isn't that what that's called? Is that on the MacBooks and the XPS, they call that the display port?
Oh, well, it's called a DVI port.
The DVI, digital video
interface.
Interface,
right.
Okay.
And I've seen it on all of them that you can lose just that one color. I have not
heard. Just momentarily, and then it fixes and it goes back to the way it was?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes if I just rest my hands on my keyboard, which is right underneath my monitor, that little jiggling moves the cable enough to make it return back. So that's what I'm speculating.
And you want to make sure to check both ends of the cable to make sure it's tight, not just the one end of the back.
Yeah, I'll just unplug both ends of however. I think it's one of those old styles where you screw it in, you know?
Yes, that's probably the DB15, they call that.
Yeah, and I'll just undo that at the monitor too, and then I'll plug them back in. Like I said, nothing goes wrong. It's just, it's like, I thought it was like telling me something, like, you need to know that there's this thing going on here.
It is telling you something. It's telling you that it's missing one of the color pins.
Oh, okay.
And it can't mix the colors properly, so it goes like, well, yellow looks good. Let's give them yellow.
No, you know, that's a great point. Like, warning, like you always see on TV where the screens are flashing red. And,
right.
Yeah, that's supposed to mean something. I don't think that means anything in this instance.
Well, wonderful. Listen, I appreciate it very much and love you guys.
You're welcome, Tim. Nice having you talking. You. Again, the number is 800-859-0957. Boy, I'm happy when we have things like that we can answer versus some of the other ones that kind of make you scratch your head and wonder what in the world is going on. 800-859-0957. Ron from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Yes, I do have a little problem here. When I go into my system, I have most of my programs bookmarked. And sometimes when I bookmark them, I'll get in the address bar the HTTP, and it won't work. But I'll get something. The other times I'll get HTTPS, and it will work. And I'm wondering what's causing it to flip out of the HTTP, I mean HTTPS to HTTP. And I understand that one is secure site, the other is not. And then after that happens, I get a lady on there that looks like an operator asking for support.
Well, wait. You get a lady on where?
When she comes on the screen. When she comes, you know, like a picture of a lady on the screen.
I got you. And then all of a sudden it's asking you for support connect.
Right.
Do you have any particular program that you've installed on your computer that should be showing you that?
No. I don't know where they come from. They just pop in there.
Okay.
I mean, I've been getting that for the last month or so.
Yeah,
they pop in. And I don't know where they come from. But when I see them, I try to click them off. And normally what I do is if I see them too frequently, I click them off, and then I'll restart my computer.
Okay.
So I've never seen this on the Mac, so I don't think you're running a Mac.
No, I'm running Windows.
Yeah, I could have bet my last week's paycheck on that. What I would do is I would download a program for called Malwarebytes.
Malwarebytes, okay.
Malwarebytes.org. And download their free version. It's a program that's used to scan and remove malicious software that's on your computer.
Okay.
And a lot of antivirus programs, for some reason, do not remove what you're experiencing. You have a Trojan on your computer that's trying to trick you into clicking these people and then paying them $200 to repair your computer when there's probably nothing wrong on it.
Exactly.
What's wrong is that
that's what I have assumed when I did that, because I know a year ago I did that, paid them. And it worked for about 6 months, and then they come back again.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay, so you have been stung before, and it's...
Absolutely.
I'm going to guess that's very likely that some of that program was left on your computer.
Exactly, and a little timer went off that says, we need more money, and...
But I got protection on there, and I don't understand how I was getting past that.
Well, there's two different types of protection. One protection is for viruses. The other one is for malware. And what you have in your particular case is a malware issue.
Uh-huh.
And what Ed is suggesting to you is to download Malwarebytes, which will remove that malware from your computer. Then you reboot it, bring it back up again, and you should be back whole again.
Now, if you go to the internetadvisor.net, on the top of the screen, we have a link that says Toolkit. Click on that, and you'll see the word malware tools to remove. This is a free utility that you can download. But unfortunately, you spell malware or bytes, B-Y-T-E-S. And
that's
so,
that's
why I'm recommending you go to internetadvisor.net, click on Toolkit, follow the links to Malwarebytes, and download it.
Okay, Ron.
Sounds good, sir. I appreciate that.
All right, Ron. Thank you for your call. And by the way, we are now closing in on 5 o'clock, so there's still time for a few more of your calls. If you've been thinking about doing this, go ahead. Give us a call right now at 800-859-0957. And we'll get an answer for you before we wrap up. We're wrapping things up here in this second hour of the Internet Advisor, but we do have a couple phone lines open at 800-859-957. Wait a minute. 800-859-0957. You never had that happen to you? You kind of get up, it just derails
it's
a little
bit. It's like putting the wrong emphasis on the right syllable.
Yeah.
Maria, we'll be with you in just a second. Again, the number 800 859-0957. Just had somebody
and your cheat sheet's sitting down here instead of up.
You're right.
That's why you can't, you know. I usually just read it when I sit in your chair. So.
Somebody just called and asked about this. Shane Hamlin is one of our experts that's on the air with us often. He works for a company called CompTech Services. They're on Shaner. And it just right near 18 Mile Road in Sterling Heights. And somebody called up and asked and said, you know, who is he and how can I get in touch with him? Shane is somebody we trust.
He owes me money or they want to get his help.
Want to get his help. You can visit him and you can also go to, let's see if I can get that address up here quickly.
Well, while he's
CompTech US. It's called Comp, C-O-M-P, Tech, T-E-C-H. us.com, comptechus.com, and you can find out more about it there. Shane Hamlin.
And seeing all we're doing shameless plugs, I'll just go ahead and do one right now. Next weekend, if you're not doing anything, and of course you will be, you come on out to the Mac Group meeting. We'll be having it at our usual location at the Birmingham Temple in Farmington Hills, and it starts at 3 p.m. We'll be talking about, there's going to be two speakers. Dave McGuire is going to be there, and he'll be talking about Mac OS 10. And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be talking about backup and all the things that you have to do to be able to back up your computer.
So while your significant other is shopping, you drop them off, you head over to the temple.
Sure.
There you go.
There you go.
It's the place to be, and we'll be there between 3 and 5 p.m. Come on out. It's open to everybody. You don't have to be a Mac user. We have principles that we're going to talk about that are good for any platform you may use.
And we should say, you also have a Genius Bar that's there.
The Genius Bar is there at 2 o'clock. If you have a problem with a computer, you can bring the computer with you. They'll sit down. They'll show you how to fix it. I want to put more memory in it. I want to put a hard drive in and bring that with you, and they'll be more than glad to help you out in that particular case.
I can vouch for the fact that they're excellent at helping you there. Okay, that's the Mac Group. By the way, you can go to macgroup.org for more information if you'd like on that. Okay. Finally, let's wrap it up again. 800-859-0957. Maria from Birmingham, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Thank you. You were just mentioning the malware bytes.
Yes.
And I downloaded it last year, and they're bugging me constantly. They want me to buy the premium. Should I buy the premium? Will this be better?
Well, it'll stop the nagging, or it'll stop bugging you. What I do is, and I should have purchased it when it was $25 for life, right? Now it's $25 a year. Yeah. But how I use it personally is I use it, then I uninstall it after a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And then if I need to use it again, I download it again. And then use it. But it's completely up to you. If you found that Malwarebytes is providing you and is stopping malicious software and it gives you that sense of comfort, then go ahead and purchase it. Yeah. If not, uninstall it. And then you can always go out to that website and download it again.
And what I do is I just put up with the snagging and use it because it's free and it's great.
Yes.
So, on the other hand,
click and turn it on.
What does it cost per year?
$25 a year.
Maria, here's what happens too. For purchase one gives you a constant ongoing monitoring.
That's real time protection.
Yeah, it is better. I just use it whenever I need it.
Yes.
And periodically and put up with the rest of it.
Right.
And I just use the free version.
That's the difference between them is that one version. Which these guys are talking about. In other words, it's the same thing. It will do the same protection for you, except that the paid-for version does an ongoing, continual update.
It's in the background. It doesn't let the stuff get there to begin with, and it provides real-time protection like antivirus. Think of it as like a firewall to stop them from getting on your computer, where the free version, you have to actually start the program and then scan your computer.
Okay.
Okay. It makes sense?
Yes, yes. I also have Microsoft Security. Are they I don't know. Should I have both or?
What operating system are you running, Maria?
Is you know I don't.
Windows 7? Is it Windows 7?
Yes, Windows 7. Yes.
Okay. Windows 7. It's good if you have the Microsoft Security Essentials on there. It's called MSE, Microsoft Security Essentials. Yes, that was very good. It was built to work with Microsoft's Windows 7. It works for free, and it is very good. So that should be running regularly, continually on your machine. Malware Bytes, you can bring in then, and like Gary's doing and the other folks there, only use it periodically to run your machine, you know, to run on the machine to make sure that nothing else has gotten through, because the Microsoft Security Essentials is very, very good.
And what you want to do is make sure that you only have one antivirus. So you don't want to have Norton and McAfee and Microsoft Security Essentials all running at the same time. They'll just fight with each other.
Okay.
But you can have the Malware Bytes, so you have malware detection running with antivirus, just not two antivirus programs.
Right. And if if you really feel good about the product and what it's done for you, that sort of thing, purchasing it is a good thing to do.
Yes.
One, because it gives you a real-time protection. And two, if we don't buy them eventually, they'll go away because
that's
they can't be able to continue to create
you
for free.
And we've actually had in the guy that invented and owns Malware Bytes. We've had him on the show.
Fascinating conversation with him a couple of years ago.
So we do want him to stay in business because it's a great program.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd give us lifetime licenses, but that didn't happen.
Stephen from Roseville, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. I really enjoy your show, and you helped a lot.
Good.
And I got a real doozy here.
Okay.
Because I'm sort of a computer guy myself, and I've been working on this for a few months.
All right.
I had Internet 7, the upgrade, and I tried to download the free upgrade to Windows 10.
Uh-huh.
But it was taking a long time, and I ended up going to sleep before it happened. Then when I went back about trouble, my computer would come on, go off. So I couldn't even reload something. So I had to put Windows 7 up from scratch again. And now I've had nothing but trouble. It seems like out of a 150 gig hard drive, I've only got 5 gig free space, and it locks up on me a lot.
So that's strange. So did you lose all your data on your computer?
Yes, I did.
So if you've only just loaded Windows 7 on your computer from scratch and you had this hard drive, I'm suspecting either you installed it on the wrong partition, right? Because usually when you get a manufactured computer, they'll split the hard drive up in multiple partitions, and you probably didn't erase everything on that. You didn't erase all of the partitions on that singular hard drive. That or your hard drive is actually failing. I mean, that's a possibility.
How old is the hard drive?
It's pretty old. I see it's about 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. You know, I went to Micro Center. What I did is I went to Micro Center for a friend, and I actually picked up a 500 gigabyte laptop hard drive for $31.
A laptop hard drive.
Laptop hard drive.
So that must mean the desktops are
probably even
10.
Cheaper.
Cheaper, yeah.
I could not believe it. And I went there and I says, I'm looking for a cheap hard drive, and the guy opened it up, and here's a refurbished, because a lot of people are updating their hardware, and they resell these refurbished hard drives dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Steve, what we're going to do is just ask you to go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and hit the contact button, and put any further questions you have there into an email, and that'll come up, and give us your name and your email address, and we'll get back to you during the week. We do that with other people as well. And for the rest of you, you can also go to internetadvisor.net, and at the bottom, when you click on our podcast, at the bottom of the page, there's a window there for comments as well. That's another way of getting hold of us. Thanks so much for being with us here on this special edition of the Internet Advisor. We're about to take our leave of this Saturday, and coming up will be coverage of the Michigan State basketball game. That's coming up here on 760 AM WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes. Until we meet again here on the Internet Advisor, happy surfing of the Internet. You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.